I think about this story. Somebody sent me an email the other day. I was so blessed. They said there was a university, and you know, nearly all of our universities were started by good Christian men. And now then, you can't even talk about Jesus in most of them, and some of them are seminaries. That's what's so sad. But anyway, there was one of our good, supposedly, used to be Christian schools. And there was a young man that was been in Afghanistan and for two or three tours, and he came back, and he was going to be home for a year or something before he had to go back. So he decided to take a course in one of our universities and get a little more knowledge and further his education. So he comes in, sits down to class, and he's taking this class. I don't remember what it was, but he's taking the class. And then one day the professor walks in, and he's got some kind of a problem that day. He walks in shaking his fist, said, "How many of you guys in here believe that there's really a God?" Well, there was only a few of them held their hands up. Most of them were intimidated and knew he was up to something, so they was not willing to jump up and say, "I believe in Jesus." I mean, boy, it's a good thing I wasn't in that class. Woo, because when he said that, man, I'd have been up there jumping up and down on top of the desk. I said, "I believe in Jesus." Well, anyway, only a few of them held up their hand. He said, "Okay, those of you that are foolish enough to believe there's a God, I'm going to prove to you there is no God." He said, "God, I don't believe you're real. I don't believe there is no such thing as God. If you are God, I'll give you 10 minutes. I'll look at my watch right now, and I'm giving you 10 minutes to come down here and knock me out. If you're real, I want to see you knock me out." So he's walking up and down in front of the class. See, 8 minutes have gone by, and nothing's happened. See, there is no God. So all of a sudden, this big old Marine, he gets up and walks up there. And as he walks up there, he walks right up to the professor, looks him right in the eye and says, bam, hits him right in the nose and just knocks the guy out. In a little while, the guy wakes up. He gets up and he says, "What did you do that for?" He said, "You said, where is God? And you proved there is no God." He said, "I'm going to tell you where God is. He's over in Iraq watching over our boys. He's busy, so he sent me to do his light work." He said, "We're over there fighting for the freedom so you can stand here and profess to be a complete fool in front of these people in this class. So I just thought I'd show you where God is. And he lives in me," he said. You know, sometimes we need a few more of those loving, sweet Marines. You know that? Sometimes it takes physical force to get the world's attention. You know that? Now, people want to say, "Well, you know, we're Christians. We're supposed to just turn the other cheek. We're never supposed to hit anybody." Well, let me tell you, you didn't read the book. There's a time to fight. There's a time to love. There's a time for everything. Y'all know where I'm coming from? There is time for everything. And so don't ever think that you're limited as a Christian to sit back and let the world run over you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be standing strong for Jesus. And so, you know, we need to do that. But anyway, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, first of all, if you obey in that scripture, how much sickness are you going to have? Now, you read that the same way I do. If you obey, okay, now let me ask you on the negative side. If you disobey, what does it seem like he's going to do? Oh, it seems like he will put diseases upon us. In other words, he couldn't make a positive statement and say, "If you diligently do this, then I will do this." And if we don't do what he says, there's got to be a consequence. Is that true? Sure. So let's go to Exodus 23, 25 and 26, and let's see. Let's don't just do something with just one verse. Let's go to a couple of places. Deuteronomy 23, 25. "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water." Now, if you serve the Lord, if you put him first, who's going to bless your bread and your water? The Lord is. So if you're putting him first, all you really got to do when you sit down to a glass of water, sometimes I ask the Lord to bless it, but I don't have to. really all I got to do is just say, Lord, thank you for this glass of water. Is that right, brother? When I say, Lord, thank you for this glass of water, and if I'm putting him first, loving him, what's he going to do with that glass of water? He's going to bless it for me. Is that right? So in other words, that glass of water is going to be good for my physical body because God's going to bless it. Is that right? I mean, that's what he said. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Now, wait a minute. If we obey him and serve him, he's going to do what with sickness? He's going to do what? What did he say? Is that what he said? I will take sickness away from the midst of you? So then why do we have, if this is under the law, under the old covenant, then why do we have so many of us that are sick and afflicted under the church? You ever stop to think about that? There's something wrong here. Is that right? Something definitely wrong. Because under the old law, the old covenant, which we have a much better covenant after the blood of Jesus was shed for you and I, if we have a covenant like that back in those days, that if they obeyed him and did everything he said, he's going to bless your bread and water and he will take sickness away from the midst of you. In other words, I may be misinterpreting this, but if to me, with my education, if God says I will take sickness away from you, I believe that means I won't be sick. Is that the way you interpret that? I mean, so I'm on safe ground here. Okay, so now then, let me ask you, if any time you don't agree with what I say, or you think I'm taking something out of context, you hold up your hand and say, I disagree with you. You know, just like the other day in Norway, we just got back from a week in Norway, and there was a little lady came up, and she said, sir, I disagree with your teaching, some of it. I said, okay, what? She said, you said today that wives have to submit to their husbands in all things. And I disagree with you. I said, ma'am, I was just quoting what the king said. I didn't write the book. And Jesus said, I mean, in his book, he said, wives, you must submit to your husband in all things. If God says a wife is to submit to her husband in all things, well then, what does that mean? Does it mean what it says? Well, I think it does. And of course, a lot of women will not do that, and then they wonder why their children are on drugs. They wonder why their daughter is out getting pregnant before she gets married. They wonder why there's rebellion in the home. But see, the scriptures clearly says in 1 Samuel that if there is rebellion in the home, it says witchcraft and every form of evil is in your house. Now, 1 Samuel 15:23. Okay, let's go there and look at it. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:23, and let's see what it says there. 1 Samuel 15:23, yeah. Rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Wow. I know none of y'all have ever been rebellious or stubborn or done any of those things. If you have, what do you need to do? Repent. That's right. Under the new covenant, we have a blessing. When we see ourselves under this old law, we say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I was stubborn. So sorry that I was rebellious. Lord, I'm so sorry that I didn't know that I had to submit to my husband in all things. Because I've had everybody in the world pray for my daughter, my son, and they're in rebellion. They won't do what I ask them to do. I wonder why they won't do what you ask them to do. You reckon that something happened because you wouldn't do what God asked you to do? That this could cause this kind of a problem? You know, people just don't see this. But it's there. Now then, if you're obeying God, if you're loving him, serving him, putting him first, and doing everything he says, I'm going to guarantee you your children, if daddy is reading the word of God to those children every day, like Jesus told them to, In fact, let me ask this question before we go to the scripture and read this. How many of you men have a hat that's got a little sign hanging in front that says, "Remind me to teach my children about God today"? Anybody got one of those? Nobody. You ever seen one? How many of you got a sign on your gatepost that says, "Remind me to teach my children today about God"? How many of you got a sign over your door when you walk into your house, "Remind me today to teach my children about God"? We don't do that. But yet, is it in the Word? Yes, it's in the Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 4. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and then we'll read and see what the Lord says here. Deuteronomy 6, 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." In other words, He's one. Verse 5. "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength." Now then, if God told Israel that they had to do that under the old covenant whenever we got our sins taken care of with blood of goats and animals, what do you think He's going to require whenever He come and paid the price and it was His blood? You think He's going to require you to put Him first? I guarantee He's going to require you to put Him first. I mean, you're not to seek out the world, you're to seek out the King. Jesus is to be the first in every one of our lives. And if you want to walk with no sickness and disease, I guarantee you got to do this. I mean, if you want to walk with no sickness and no disease, you have to put God first, just like He said. Because look what He says there. "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength." Did you notice any alls in there anywhere? He didn't just say all one time there, did He? Isn't it amazing how that God says these things in His Word? "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today." Now let's see what some of them are. Verse 7 and 8. "Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you're getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, "Declare Your Faith and Redemption from the Curse," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.